And welcome to Red, White, and Views. We are meeting today with Baldwin mayoral candidates Alice Venter and Douglas Faust. Welcome.
Welcome. Thank you.
And we have a mayoral race coming up November 4th. Mm-hmm. And the two of you, I want to thank you for putting your hat in the ring. Now, of course, Alice, you are on the city council, or were on the city council.
I still am.
You still are. Mm-hmm. So you didn't have to resign.
No, because my seat was up for re-election.
Okay.
Yes.
So you're still on city council right now. Mm-hmm. And Douglas, you are a resident.
I am.
In Baldwin. How long have you lived in?
I've lived in Baldwin 2 years. I've been in Georgia 30 years.
Okay. All right. And where did you live previously?
Before the 30 years? Or just?
No, before the 2 years in Baldwin.
Okay. I was in Decatur. Decatur is a smaller town inside of Atlanta. It's about 25,000 persons.
Okay. So, because I know that this has been a little bone of contention, and I've told you both we're going to keep this very, very civil. This is just a conversation that we're having here. But I know that one of the things, Alice, that you have criticized Doug for is the fact that he is from a bigger city and maybe doesn't, I've heard this, okay, doesn't really know how small town government works. So I just kind of wanted to address that a little bit, that maybe there is a big difference between how small town works versus larger towns.
I believe mostly that's been, that's been some of the people, the residents, or maybe not even just Baldwin. I've noticed some comments from people that don't live in Baldwin. That's usually the case on Facebook. When Doug first qualified, I actually I called him, and but we did have that conversation. I said, "Yeah, you might run into this," because I was not sure that I was actually going to continue on with the mayor race, which, you know, they printed that in the paper. So I was glad that someone else qualified. And so Doug and I had that conversation over a couple of phone calls. But I was concerned that one of the challenges that he would face would be where he comes from here, just because our people here are very protective of what they got, and for good reason. So,
well, having said that, I have actually heard you say a couple times that you had thought about dropping out of the race.
I did. Yeah, it's hard work.
And do you still feel that way?
No, I don't feel that way. I've had a lot of people, our residents, and then some other people in the community, they're saying, "Hey, you know, we really don't want you to leave us with another choice. Let the people choose." And I think that that's the best way. And my prayer has been for Baldwin that it ends up with the best leadership, whoever that is. My personal feeling, my counselor asked me to write down this list of things that I would do if I was not on the council, and it's a gorgeous list. Looks like a lot of fun. But my heart has always been for the people, and if that is, if the best thing for Baldwin is for me to lead that, then I'm here for the challenge. So,
Doug, make a point of that. If you get elected, you may want to get a counselor.
Okay. You see this gray hair? You can't see my gray hair, but this is there.
Oh, you can absolutely see mine.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, she's been on the council for, what, close to 8 years now?
Yeah, it's 8 years.
And she requires a counselor, so maybe maybe you want to drop out of the race.
Yeah.
So, Doug, what do you have to say about people who would question the fact that you're from a bigger city, that maybe you're not the right person for the job?
Well, I'd like to have folks understand that I have skills. I have the ability. I have the willingness. No, I don't know everybody in Baldwin. I do like to listen to people. My career has actually been an awful lot of consulting, where I go and listen to communities about how they'd like to be and then help them get there. That's what Baldwin needs, is an understanding of how to listen and how to engage and how to communicate effectively, and then be in a position that, okay, now we've come to a consensus on what we need to do, let's do that.
Now, you come from a background of working in government.
I do.
And you have a lot of communication skills. And you did say, you know, Decatur is a small town, which is true, encompassed within, you know, around a larger town. Do you think that's an asset to you?
I do, because I knew the city council, I knew the mayor, I engaged with the city manager all the time, and I worked with the citizens. And so you do the same thing, whether it's a scale of 4,000 people, 50,000 people, or 20,000 people. And so you have to be engaged, you have to be available, you have to listen. And I'm willing to do that.
Alice, we know you very well.
You see my halo?
Sometimes your approach is a little questionable.
Not denying that. Yes.
How do you govern people when it is a question? It is questionable and sometimes a little inappropriate. How do you govern people as a mayor with that in your background?
You know what? That's a fantastic question, and I'm really glad that you asked that, because it does give me the opportunity. As we were speaking earlier, a very good person in our community, an influential person in our community, said to me, Alice, we've been through every stage of a relationship, and he said, the online Alice is very different, is a completely different person than the in-person Alice. So he said, I need for you to be that person. And I appreciated that. And, you know, my neighbors that live on my street, people that wish to vote for me, they're like, Alice, we just want you to just be who you are in person. And so I appreciated the fact that they actually had the backbone to say that to me. They said, we love you. One thing, regardless of my approach, and I'm going to answer your question in 2 seconds, regardless of that, no one can deny my love for Baldwin. Baldwin is my blood and my sweat and my tears are in the earth there. I've raised my children and now my grandchildren. And so I humbly say I'm a human being. And it's the new and improved Alice. They've made the request. And so, you know, if I'm to govern and lead that city, it can't be the way that I've done that in the past. So this, I have no problem saying, yeah, that's the truth.
So we have a little bit of time between now and November 4th. Mm-hmm. Are you going to be able to show that new Alice between now and then?
I should hope so. Absolutely. But that's just a small snippet. That's just a small snippet.
Can you show people by holding back on that keyboard?
Yeah, 100%.
That,
absolutely.
That you're going to be, because it is a little annoying. I mean, you and I are friends. Yeah. We've known each other for a long time.
Yeah.
And you know I've called you out about
some
things.
Alice, get that off of Facebook. Yes.
You know, because it does kind of sour the lemon tree even more.
Perception, for sure. Perceptions, you know, are everything. Yes. And, you know, I think that we can agree that I don't just go to attack folks. When I see someone that is hurting another person, that's where my warrior, my protector comes out. And that is true for Baldwin also. You know, we've worked tremendously hard for years, because it wasn't just over the last 8 years that this problem just all of a sudden appeared. Baldwin's had a long history of decisions that have eventually led us one way or another. And so knowing how hard all of us have worked with angels in our heart to see people say, well, they're criminals or they're crooks or they're just trying to save the water for their citizens. Again, I'm human and my warrior and my protector comes out. So this is one of the reasons why having counseling is a great thing, because it helps you mold yourself and forge yourself into what it is that you know is needed to get done. And so, you know, my warrior and my protector needs to step back just a little bit and let the leader come out. So,
well, speaking of problems in Baldwin, there's been budget issues.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there's issues with the infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to ask both of you, let's talk about infrastructure and the issues there. Doug, how would you handle improvements?
I think we need to get our arms around the entire problem and have an understanding. I know there's a capital improvement plan that's being crafted right now by the city's engineers. That will lay out what's needed for the future. And as Alice said, you know, this didn't just happen. It's been happening for a long, long time. And so at some point, those repairs will need to be made in order that the systems can work. A rough estimate is about $30 million of what's needed in defrayed maintenance. And so it's like your home. If you don't take care of your home, it will fall down around you. And so we need to be prepared for what's coming. But part of that is involving the citizens in all of those different aspects. And so what I would propose is a series of town halls where we begin to educate everyone about what is going on. Where are the water leaks? What's happening? How much water is being lost? What can be done with the water? What are the situations related to this sanitary sewer? What do we need to do with the storm water so it doesn't run into the sanitary sewer and then exacerbate problems with that system? And so all those things together are being studied by the engineers. But what we need to do is communicate with the residents what's going on. I think that gap of communication is part of what's creating the tension between the government and the citizens is we don't understand. Why would you need to raise taxes? What's happening? And this council has been trying to do that, but I think you need to be more effective in that communication. You mentioned earlier about tensions. Okay, I've been in probably 300 public meetings in my career, and I've never yelled at the citizens. I've never screamed at the citizens. What I do is listen, engage, bring back answers, and move forward.
He's right, 100%. The communication definitely is lacking, and especially with the infrastructure. So 2019, I came onto the council in 2018. And in 2019, a couple of people in our community and I were having some discussion, and we talked about how it's always been my belief that you work your way up through to a management position. So it doesn't really work that way in an elected position. You're elected and you're top brass and you're making decisions a lot of times about things you don't know what you're talking about. So I got the idea I spent a 24-hour shift with our fire department. I spent a 12-hour shift with our police department, 8-hour shift with our public works. And after those things, we started with the world tour, which shows you all of the infrastructure. I'm really glad that you guys went and did that because it's so important. You're making big decisions about important things and expensive things. If you don't really know how it works, then you're not really being effective. So that worked very well. I would have liked and had suggested that we do videos of our infrastructure and some of the things that we've got going on so that could give people an idea, because we're having to rely on the media to share that. And the media would have to write novels that people are not going to pay attention to. But if you're doing, you know, a series of short videos that's saying, hey, this is our wastewater plant, this is what we got going on with our cake. And cake is not like icing and eggs and flour and sugar. It's waste. And so people turn on their water and they don't really give it a second thought as to where it comes from. They flush their toilet. They don't know where that goes. These things need to be communicated to the people, and that has not been. I've been chomping at the bit to do that. And while I was interim mayor, I did start something called Coffee with the Mayor. It was a little lofty because it was every weekend. That's just not possible. But the goal behind that was to talk to the people about the problems that we have, the issues that we've got, that we're having to make these decisions alone, because for years we're having city council meetings and town halls that people wouldn't show up to. So we're having to make decisions on our own. It's like, oh, well, nobody's showing up. I guess they're okay with this.
So did you have any solutions that came out of any of that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yes.
So what was resolved?
So we do have the, especially the mountain infrastructure. I've been asking for several years from our state legislators. You know, they're also limited in what they can do. However, what's that old adage, never let a crisis go to waste? So when the water was out for a week for a lot of people and we were struggling so hard to repressurize the system and provide water to people who were not actually our city residents but deserve water all the same, I spoke with our state legislators and you know, I said, they were like, hey, what can we do to help? And I said, I need money. That's it. Money is what's going to solve it. And, you know, Baldwin provides water through one way or another to 60% of our community. It's life-giving water. And so those things are finally beginning to be resolved. But it's an ongoing, it's always going to be ongoing. There's always going to be something to fix. But communicating that to the people also leads to a resolution. Because the people, good thing about having locally elected officials, whether it's your state legislators, your county legislators, or your city legislators, you got to look at them in the grocery store. And so, you know, when people speak, it's very powerful.
But it seems like you always have these ongoing problems. Mm-hmm. And, of course, there's the tax issue. Mm-hmm. You know, are you going to have to raise taxes? And can the people of Baldwin afford higher taxes?
No. But I'm sorry.
I'm asking both of you. Okay. And how do you get around
that? Okay.
And how
I don't
do you
wanna
get around that?
So my plan to get around that, here's the thing, is that government exists to provide services. The services are not getting any less expensive. My plan is that many hands make light work. We have service delivery negotiations coming in 2 years. That happens only every 10 years. So this is a very, very important event that has to be effective to lower our taxes, because if we're all here, you got seven cities, and just in Habersham, you know, we're also in Banks County, so I don't want to just speak like I'm leaving them out. I'm a Banks County resident. But if we're working together to provide those services, then the cost of those services is going to come down. That's the only way, is for all of us to work together. And I believe that the best way to make that happen is with the relationships that I've built. You know, it's funny, and we can laugh and say, oh, Alice, you know, she's crazy or whatever. But you know what? I have some fantastic relationships that many of them were forged in the fire. Some of the best relationships are those that are forged in the fire. They're strong. They build a lot of trust. We also, a lot of folks don't know this, and I've begged the media to attend these, but we started something called the HC3, Habersham Communication, Collaboration, and Cooperation. And that means quarterly, all of the cities and the development authority, and sometimes the school participates as well, we get together, representatives from each one of the cities, and talk about what we've got coming down the pipeline, how we can resolve some of these issues. And that started with Baldwin, and it started with the communication. So it's not just about communicating with the people, it's also about communicating with our brothers and sisters that are in this community serving selflessly as public servants. And that's the only way to lower the taxes, because things are always getting more expensive.
Alice, you talk about all these things and the way that you've communicated with people and the things that you've accomplished, but why is it that the only thing people know about you is how you blow up on Facebook?
Yeah. That's because people don't have enough face-to-face interaction. And that's another thing that Baldwin has tried to lead in the community is, you know, our community events are designed to have people interact with one another. In this digital age, people think that Facebook's reality. No, it's not. It's not.
Can I make a suggestion?
Sure.
That maybe you turn the tide.
I can do that. Absolutely. That's a challenge I can rise to.
Doug, I want to ask you, is there another way other than raising taxes? I mean, these are serious, serious issues is the infrastructure and the budget. Where's the money going to come from?
Yeah, it is a tough question. These are problems that have come up over the last 30 years, and we have to have a long-range plan to look at this and determine how to proceed. Yes, there's some emergency work that needs done immediately, but we also have to be in a position that we're making the investments long down the road. And so the sources of money are not just taxes. We have to look at the cost of the water and make sure we're balancing out the water and using that as a resource. That resource can then help us to seek financing if we need to do financing. But a $30 million estimate from EMI is what's estimated to be coming. And so what do we do? We have to have water. We have to have sewer. Those are necessary things. And so we look at the efficiency of the government. We make sure we're being as careful as we can with the citizens' dollars to make sure that every office that we have is achieving its goals, achieving the service levels that we want. And then through, as I said, that series of town halls, we ask of people, what do we need to do to meet your needs and be in a balance, that balance of what the needs are versus what the wants are and then what the resources are becomes a long-range plan. And we need to try to work with future councils. We can't bind future councils, but we have to be in a position that a roadmap is satisfactory that guides us to a point where the water and sewer work. They're safe. You know, we're losing approximately 1 million gallons a day. That's an Olympic swimming pool.
That's right.
Every single day. And so if you have that water, you can do things with it. It does become a resource. It becomes a financial resource.
I have heard from people on the street that it's time that Baldwin turns in its charter and becomes a part of Cornelia. Mm-hmm. How do both of you feel about that? Who wants to go first?
I'll go ahead. I think Baldwin has an opportunity to remain Baldwin. That opportunity is working together on solutions, as I've said. What is it we want to have? If we're not willing to work together, if we're not willing to make the investments, if we're not willing to invest in each other as citizens, then that's how that happens. It falls apart. But if the people work together, there's no reason you can't have a small town that works. The government has to be right-sized, the budget has to be right-sized, and the needs have to be discovered. Part of that is that communication, though. If you put out in front of the public, this is what's coming, then they'll be much better prepared to either understand it or say, oh, no, we do give up. But I hope they don't give up.
Alice?
The very, very true that small cities are becoming more and more unsustainable. In Habersham County, each one of the cities, just about every one of the cities, has their own fire, their own police, their own water, their own sewer. And we've all kind of just, you know, humans are tribal, right? Like, we're, you know, we root for our own sports teams, we root for our own town, and my state's better than your state. And so there's been a lot of that in our community. And I think that through educating the people and through working with the other government bodies within our community, many hands make light work. And so if we're working together, again, to provide those services, then maybe that is the way that we make these small cities sustainable. Because no doubt, each one of our cities, you know, with the exception of a few people here and there that sometimes are the squeaky wheel, I think that most of us take pride in our little towns that we have. I mean, you've got beautiful Clarksville here. Cornelia is amazing with its... with its, you know, nightlife and downtown, and they've got, you know, all of the shopping districts and things like that. And then you've got Mount Airy, and it's like little Mayberry, Mount Airy, all on its own, and they prefer it that way. So people love their little towns and love the way that they are, but to be able to have the services that we all really deserve and need, we're going to have to work together. Again, many, many hands make light work, and that's how to make it happen.
One last question to both of you. Alice, I'm going to let you go first.
Okay.
Okay. Why should people vote for you?
Well,
we've got about 60 seconds.
Yeah. Okay. I love my town. I'm here for the challenge, and I think that I've got the relationships that will help us in 2 years with this very, very important once in a decade event. To many hands make light work, to make it work, make us sustainable, bring those services to the people. And I just, you know, that's why I think people should vote for me.
Doug, why should people vote for you?
I think I represent a new day, a new opportunity. I do have a good skill set in government. Alice has pointed out that this negotiation is going to happen in 2 years. I've done a lot of intergovernmental agreements in my career. Everywhere that I've done redevelopment, that's been all over the country, in big cities and small cities. And so the communication is something that if you tell somebody you're going to do something, you do it, you deliver, you create a confidence there, and then you continue to work on that relationship. I don't think it takes 8 years to develop a relationship with nearby cities. In that 2 year period between now and then, it should be easy to do that. And part of it is by being stable and competent and making sure our government is delivering.
I want to thank both of you. Wish you both very, very well. And I want to encourage everyone out there to get to the polls on November 4th, and contact these two candidates. I think both of you have pages on Facebook, maybe Instagram, and you can listen to this podcast at Now Habersham, and I think also on Spotify and on YouTube. And I want to appreciate both of you for joining us here at Red, White, and Views. This is the Baldwin Mayoral candidates, Alice Venter and Douglas Faust. And I encourage all of you listening to pass the word. And if you know someone in Baldwin, encourage them to listen to the views of both Doug and Alice. And thank you once again, both of you, for listening and for coming in here today, and all of you out there for listening to this podcast on Now Habersham.